Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Fine, Andrew. How are you? How is the summer in London?
Good. I said, I'm getting ready for all the warm weather and our holiday with a shorter haircut, pushed on by my wife. So let's see.
Excellent.
So just a timestamp is that. Well, we usually do it on Friday, London afternoons. Today we're doing it in Thursday, London evening. So this is before some key data points that are coming out on Friday, which obviously we could talk about your thoughts. But definitely, it was an interesting, has been an interesting week from a political standpoint. Never boring in US politics, but I guess, and market's been a bit more volatile. So, what are your kind of big takeaways? I guess generally across economy, politics, market reaction, et cetera, over the past kind of 4 or 5 days.
So the US presidential election got a lot tighter and a lot more interesting. Definitely Harris is a more competitive candidate, but at the same time, we've seen some shift in Trump policies. I mean, he said something very intriguing during his acceptance speech. He had a very, very long 1.5 hour speech, but one of the things he mentioned was that after all, he wasn't so much against China. And if the Chinese wanted to build manufacturing factories in the US and staff them with US workers, he was happy for them to do so, which is, quite a shift. So we're getting a change of personnel on one side and a hint at changes in policies on the other side. So basically, we have greater uncertainty on the economics we can expect next year than a week ago.
Okay, cool. And then do you get a feel for what, well, I think we still generally, the betting is still towards Trump, although as you said, it's much tighter now. Do you feel like the markets are pricing in? I guess there's two things which I was discussing below, that there's less of a chance of Trump winning, although he's still favored. So that can have an effect on the markets. Now, there's also, I think, what a lot of Democrats had issues with was that President Biden was potentially really hurting down the ticket too, for Congress and senators, maybe even governors, but and that Kamala Harris won't necessarily be that much of a negative. So if we have a split Congress and a Republican president, that could also maybe keep Trump in check more, especially if it's a lot of tax cuts or something and unfunded tax cuts or something like that. But are you surprised by how the market's been reacting this week since Biden stepped down? It was Sunday. It feels like a couple weeks ago, but it was only Sunday, I think.
It's not so much the reaction to Biden. It's just I can't make any sense of people still talking about the impending recession and the rate cuts in September that are now 100% priced in. I mean, we just said GDP today, 2.8%. The trend is 2%, the expectation was 2%, and consumption recovering, 1.5% in Q1, now 2.3%. So tell me, where is the recession? And so I look and I wonder. And then I was told that an inverted curve was a sign of recession. Fine, I never believed it, but fair enough, this is what happened in the past. Now the curve is steepening, and I'm told that it's also a sign of recession. So, I'm not sure. I'm just a very simple-minded economist. I'm going to stick to my data, and my data shows no recession.
Okay. Trying to think what else. Well, obviously the market's been getting a bit more volatile. The certainly the equity markets, and it Any reason do you see for that happening? Is it questions about, is there more uncertainty now because of it didn't look like maybe a runaway for Trump? Do you think some of this is political? Is it questions about still, okay, maybe he's not that negative, as negative as we thought against China, but generally more protectionist, especially with JD Vance. That could be against Europe as an example. Questions about the relationship with Mexico, I guess, as well.
So the market jitters in relation to Trump, it looks like the weaknesses are more tech, big tech, than the broader markets. Earnings in the broader market seem to be doing okay. So I don't know, maybe the market is having some doubts that the first cut will come in September. It's currently 100% priced in. Maybe they think Trump is not going to be so supportive of big tech, but we knew that before, so that's no news there. Maybe they realize that there was a little bit of hype around AI. I mean, not to say that it's not a transformative technology, but if you remember, the last time we had that sort of a technological fever was in the late 1990s, and there was a bit of a market bust, even though the technology was transformative.
So nothing really, it's just a combination of all these things. It's also the summer, there's less liquidity. Okay. But generally you see, and it, as an example was the GDP for Q2 is even if the economy is slowing, it still looks generally at or above trend. So why is the Fed so eager to cut? Like maybe if it was well below trend, that's something different. But I yeah.
I'm not
And
sure that,
then I guess obviously you see no chance for them to cut before September.
you mean next week? So never say never. So I always speak in probability. I don't know, 2%, 1%. And even September. And what I think what is happening is that Powell is not saying anything about the timing of the first cut. I mean, he said so in his last three public appearances. He said, "I have nothing for you on the timing of the cut." And so the markets think that it's because he's getting ready to pull the trigger in September. In my view, it's just because the politics are unfortunately so toxic. When he was in Congress, he was explicitly threatened to lose Senate Republican support for Fed independence, was that could come under assault if we have a Trump administration, and the trifecta that Bilal was talking about. So he was told that if he wanted to keep Republican support, he better not cut before the election. I thought this was quite brazen because this sort of threat is usually made behind closed door, not in full public view. And same with the Bloomberg interview that Trump gave, where he was very polite and he was very moderate by his own standards, but he said they know they should not do it. So it was a veiled threat, but it was still there. So, those threats don't mean that there is not going to, the probability of a cut in September is zero. What they mean is that the economic bar for a cut is very high. And so we'll see. I mean, this brings us into next week, where the main event is really the NFP. So we have the Fed. So on the Fed, by the way, I think Biden will continue to not provide guidance on the timing of the cut, because yeah, with Harris, yeah, the race is tighter, but I
So
mean,
yeah, so an impressor. Yeah, okay, so let's move to next week. Good segue. He's not going to say a lot, in the kind of preset talk, like we discussed, for a variety of reasons, all of which you touched on. That, then the question is, in the Q&A part, do you think he's going to be down the middle again, or do you think he will float out the idea of a possible cut? That's what people want, like you said, everything's about percentages and, for percentages and nuances, right? And
Yeah.
obviously nuances lead to the what we perceive as percentages. So yeah, is the Q&A going to be the interesting part, and do you look for anything, and is there any risk to what you think he'll say, or the tone of it?
So we are going to have the Q&A à la Powell, and he has perfected the art of saying nothing, giving nothing, and because of the political backdrop, I think he will continue to say. Decisions will be made meeting by meeting on the basis of the totality of the available data. It's in every presser since I don't know, year and a half, and he'll just he'll just wait. But I'm looking at the NFP for next week, where we have a consensus of 175K. That's not going to bring a September cut. I think you would need to have strong evidence that the economy is tanking. So not just NFP, but other indicator of consumption, investment. Corporate investment is booming. Come on. I mean, if businesses were worried about the economy, they wouldn't be investing at the tune of what was it, double digit above 10% this quarter. I mean, so we need the data to show some serious weakness to have a September cut. And I would give it less than a 25% chance. And in fact, if you look at the economic surprise index, you can see that it's turning exactly as Bilal had highlighted, by the way.
Yeah, meaning turning from pretty negative, turning back up.
Yeah, it's turning back up.
Okay. All right. So what else should investors be looking for next week? Any surprises? Anything? I guess
Well,
the Fed and unemployment can be the two big ones.
if there is a good chance, so we'll have the ISM, which is important for traders, but not for economists, because the PMIs have really decoupled from the hard data. And there is a good chance we will get the announcement for Harris's vice president, and that's because.
Ah, okay. Well, you think it could come next week, not at the convention.
No, because they've announced the formal vote, that a formal vote would be held on Zoom on August 8th, I believe.
Okay, so it has to be
So
done
she'd
before.
want, yeah, she'd want to have a VP beforehand. And I'm going to make a bold prediction. It will be a white man.
Those are the
65% chance.
three, yes,
Chance.
the three main ones that people are speculating. And then this week, actually tomorrow, so we got PC, we got personal spending, we got University of Michigan, including kind of 1 year and 5 to 10 year inflation expectations. Any big takeaways from that? So, I mean, it's still fairly busy day to day that.
So I mean, my expectation for core PC is lower than 0.2, but close to so 17 basis points, say. So this would work at 2.5, 2.6% year
Right.
on year. I mean, it's not the headline numbers that's going to sway the Fed. It's more what happens to super core, so services excluding housing, since you already know that housing is it's we got it from the CPI. It's the same number in PCE
It's the
and
same number.
CPI.
That's, yeah, I was gonna, yeah.
And also, I think the Fed is paying close attention to the median price PCE simply because it's a better predictor of trends than the core PCE. So we'll have to see the details of the survey. Otherwise, the important thing there is a personal savings rate. But we already got a savings rate for the second quarter. We just didn't get the monthly breakdown, and it's still very low, and it's very much in line with my expectations. People can't afford to save because the cost of necessity has gone so much up since before the pandemic, and wages have not really caught up.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of people are saying this kind of continued bifurcated, or increasingly bifurcated, growth, where the kind of middle and upper wage earners are doing fine and confident, but the kind of lower middle and lower wage earners are starting to really struggle. I mean, I see there's a lot of numbers and stuff, but I guess. Do you have a concern about that? I mean, I guess Powell could always point to something like that.
So this was where we were before the pandemic, and this highlights the distributional consequences of Fed tightening that always hit lower income Americans than upper income Americans in terms of consumption. But I think, and actually I wrote a note about this, that the worsening of the quality of credit card outstanding balances, the worsening numbers in terms of delinquency. To me, it reflects more that banks are not being prudent in issuing credit cards than a real worsening of the average on average of the household sector. And banks are not being prudent because a lot of them have profitability issues. And when that happens, typically what banks do is they take on more risk. This is what happens in the savings loan. I mean, it's a classic. And then you have the Fed, you know, that's guaranteeing every single deposit, insured or not insured, is flooding
They
the
might as well
market
take the
with
risk, right?
liquidity. So there is no incentive. If your equity is zero, there is no incentive to li literally bet the bank, you know. And anyway, who cares? Depositors will be rescued. So for sure, Fed tightening always hits harder lower income Americans. But on average, look at the data speaks for itself. I mean, look at the PCE number, the consumption number we got today. So
Yeah, that's
I
very
can't
good.
invent the data
You
if
know,
it.
we can always rely on you to kind of see. I mean, this is what I think clients love about you, is really being able to see through things like this and not taking things on complete face value, and understand there's always, you know, there's one or two slices of pizza that are really the important ones to understand in the whole pie. Not just saying I'm
Hopefully.
hungry for dinner, but yeah. Okay, awesome. Awesome. I'll just highlight a few things from this week. Hopefully, you know, some people are out, but so just highlight it if you for our professional investors to check out on the website. Henry's PCA model out today. Interesting piece by Mirza and Liang. We had a lot of questions today from clients today about pretty large move in CNH and the renminbi overnight. I mean, 1 month vols went from 3.2 to 4.2. I mean, on a ratio basis, you know, on a percentage basis, that's a pretty huge move. So they're looking at how much could the RMB or the CNH benefit from a yen unwind, which is a very interesting piece. Henry has initiated a new long and 10-year gilt, fitting in with kind of our general view on the UK. The position the UK has, and how economics are changing there. Ben and Mirza and the team put out the G10 FX Weekly, obviously talking about looking into the yen, also looking at Naki Staki and a few other trades. Still watching, generally looking at potential opportunities to sell Aussie Kiwi, also a core bearish view. Varesh had a new idea out about a 1 by 2, was it 1 by 1 and 3 quarters, I think, even on a bullish oil trade, but with a strong cap. So Definitely agree. It feels like we're in this kind of 72 to 85 range, and that's kind of like an interesting way to play that. And obviously, a ton of interesting stuff. Bilal's written a lot of things around the U.S. elections and also the impact on growth and which interest rate trades that we like off the back of that. So, I mean, that's kind of it from me. You know, I wish everyone, well, in this case, everyone a profitable Friday, a nice weekend, and obviously a great week next week. And any parting words, Dominique?
Likewise, thank you to our listeners, and yeah, enjoy your summer.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Bye. Bye, everyone.